Who's your favorite b-baller ever?
Ever? what's the name? Showtime from the Harlem Globetrotters.
That doesn't count.
Oh, he could do a half-court shot from, like, over and under his back. It was amazing.
It's like saying Sonic the Hedgehog is your favorite sprinter. He's a fictional character. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for September 12th, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, joined by Ajay Minotti.
Yeah, hi. I was like, I'm here.
All right, hi, Ajay.
Hey.
And we're joined by Craig Scribble Austrin.
Hey, guys.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
I got Rock's name wrong last week, for crying out loud. So you can never be too sure.
Well, I don't know how you do that.
It was hard. What, Whittington?
Whittington. It's not hard.
What did I say?
Like, you just, like, mush it all. You're like, Whittigan.
Okay. So, welcome to our show. It's going to be, you know, a great one. You know, not as fantastically produced as our 100th episode, but, you know. Yeah, those are like, ones.
It's not going to be 3 hours this week, yeah. I hope.
No. I got things to watch. I got to watch his B-Ball Hall of Fame and SmackDown, so... Okay. So we're going to start off with the news, and we got a lot of news to talk about. It's been sort of crazy, huh?
We got NPD numbers, man.
Oh, well, yeah, we got NPDs and all sorts of good stuff. Then we're going to do the Great American Nash Guy Gaming Quiz. Then we have an either-or to run through. Excuse me? That's kind of gross. You might just want to edit that out.
Yeah.
You know those new personal pan stuffed crust pizzas?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is that a segment?
No, but it's delicious. All right, so after either or, we'll do our week in gaming. Then we'll talk about the new releases for the week, and that'll be the show. So you can get going with your stuff now, Ajay. I give you permission.
Right. Oh, thank you. Let's do the NPD numbers. Winning once again is the Nintendo DS, 552,900 units. Then things get more interesting. We have the Wii at 277,400, with the Xbox 360 not too far behind at 215,400, and then right behind that is the PlayStation 3 at 210,000. PSP comes in at 140,300, and the PS2 at 105,900.
So these are pretty slim numbers, I guess?
The slim was right at the end of August, right? So it would have
sort of factored in. Okay.
It was the end of August, right?
I think so. So, you know, that's if they're getting that, you know, that seems to be a decent increase for it's a very good increase, really, if it's just the end of August. That's not bad.
No.
Although, I feel like maybe people aren't being vocal enough about these PSP numbers. These don't seem to be very good numbers.
No. It's not going to get better.
No. Well, the PSP finally had a software title in the top 10.
I know, I was shocked. I can't remember the last time I saw that. Well, let's run through the software. Number one, no surprise, is Madden 10 for the 360. Then you got Wii Sports Resort, then Madden 10 for the PS3. Then Batman, first on the 360, then followed by the PS3 version, and for the sake of argument, 303,000 on the 360, 290 on the PS3. Then Madden 10 on the PS2 at 160. That's a lot. Dissidia for the PSP came in after that. Then we fit Mario Kart Wii, and then out of nowhere is Fossil Fighters.
That's the Pokemon ripoff, right?
It's Pokemon with dinosaurs.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's like designed to like attract like 8-year-old boys.
For the uninformed, this is like the most depressing month ever because you have Madden, Pokemon, and some Batman game, if you didn't know better.
We take heart in the fact that these Madden sales actually are down and not that great. But,
Well, EA like has been talking about how like they were disappointed in the sales. I mean, it's still the number one selling game this month easily.
Right. They have a problem with the Wii though.
Well, they're saying that they think their biggest problem is people went from PS2 to Wii and bought Madden 9. and were like, this isn't as good as, like, you know, it's not the full game experience. And now, like, they really have tried to make Madden 10 on the Wii a lot more different with, like, their cartoony graphics and everything. But it's, I think this is a problem across the board. As we kind of face this economic recession and sales are down in general, I don't think of all the priority and, like, game purchases people have, rebuying Madden is a big one. And it's a shame because from what I understand, everything I've read seems to indicate that, yes, this is the year that, like, substantial improvement has been made to, like, the fundamental gameplay and stuff like that. But, again, they said that last year, and it kind of wasn't true. And I think people are finally getting burned out on buying the same game every year under the promise that this is the one, you know?
Well, even their ads, all their ads only focus about is, this year is better than last year. I'm like, well,
it is, like, it has the highest Metacritic and everything.
Right,
I don't know.
I'm sick of hearing that. Oh, it's better than last time. I don't know. Batman doing very well for itself, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
So wait, 360 above PS3.
Yeah, only by 13,000.
Okay, so, but even so, I mean, I guess that just is a matter of install base at this point.
Yeah, because, I mean, Joker DLC. Like I said, I'm sure most of the multi-platform holders went PS3 because of the Joker stuff. I mean, I did.
I didn't.
Okay. That's two out of three right there. Where's your most now? We're an appropriate sample size.
But I have an irrational bias against the PS3 controller. I avoided it at all costs.
That's fair.
I just played whichever one Chris got. So,
and Chris likes his achievements.
Yeah, Chris loves achievements. But apparently, outside of this, the game has sold like 2 million copies so far.
Yeah, like worldwide.
Right. So,
see, the other thing you got to keep in mind, too, is these NPD numbers, people seem to always forget this. This does not include Walmart.
Oh, really?
And you got to figure a lot of Madden sales probably happen at Walmart. Like, more so than any of these other games, you know? Right.
No, I'm sure that's good. I'm glad to see Dissidia was on there, because I really do like Dissidia.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise.
Right. No, you know, Final Fantasy, that name still carries some weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you show Sephiroth and Cloud fighting on some commercial, people will be interested.
Yeah.
I wonder, was Crisis Core in the top 10 the month it came out?
I don't know.
Listen, I think it might have been, actually.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Here's something else real quick that's telling, is when you look at Fossil Fighters at number 10, that number is 92,000.
Oh, yeah, I saw Stephen Totillo's Twitter, where he said, you know, if Shadow Complex were on this, it would be, like, number 6.
Oh, yeah, good point. That's very true.
All right.
It seems like as things progress digitally and the fact that the Walmart numbers don't even show up here, it seems like NPD is almost kind of losing its clout, because it doesn't seem like any more like an accurate representation of actual gaming sales.
Well, it gives you an idea.
Yeah, it gives you an
idea. Are you that upset that Fossil whatever is on this list?
No, what I just thought was more interesting is that the 10th best-selling game this month didn't even break 100,000, which shows you that just like games weren't really selling in the month of August.
Well, games usually don't sell that well in the month of August.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think this holiday season, things are going to be fine. Especially once you get, you know, Call of Duty, whatever it is now, Modern Warfare 2, we'll be fine. All right, so let's move away from the NPDs. What you got next?
Okay, so if you've noticed that Craig sounds kind of sickly, it's because he has the PAX pox.
I like H1 Nerd 1.
H1 Nerd 1. See, it's a good thing we didn't go to PAX.
Yeah, I guess. But since you were there, Craig, why don't you tell us about it?
Before or after the swine flu hit me?
Let's go with before.
All right.
Oh, we're going to do the PAX rundown now?
Jeez. Yeah, we'll let just Craig give us his show floor impressions.
Yeah, let us know about PAX.
If you were looking at my Twitter at all, you could see Friday was me being all cynical and like, I don't want to play anything. This is all stupid. It's all the same. I guess that really just came from the fact that most of the stuff that's on the floor is, stuff that they're all like E3 builds. So if you're a person like us who follows the industry pretty closely, you've probably like at least seen video or heard, you know, people talk on podcasts about everything that you're seeing at PAX, which is why really the most fun part about PAX isn't like getting to play incomplete builds of games that are coming out in a few months. It's, you know, hanging out with with other nerds in a world of nerdery, you know?
Yeah, I saw someone on Twitter describe it not so much as, like, a gaming convention, but as, like, a sort of family reunion.
Yeah, it's just like a magical, happy fantasy land where everyone plays video games and they all know who makes them, and everyone is incredibly well informed, and they all worship one of podcasts. Like, forget PAX. Going to the Brodeo reunion was just a trip. Like, it borders between like a crazy tight community and just all out cult worship. And it's like, it gets a little scary at times, but it was fun. I mean, I don't know what else to say about PAX.
Any good panels you got to sit in on besides, because you were at Listen Up Live too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Listen Up was good. I mean, apparently it's still not, they still haven't put it up online
yet.
No,
it's going to go up early next week. I guess David Ellis got, like, incredibly sick.
Yeah, yeah, I think a lot of people went home with a little gift, courtesy of some asshole sick attendee who came instead of staying home.
Yeah, funny how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen Up was fun. It was very question based. Garnet, like, did this. You know, he got up off stage and ran up to the mic and shook everyone's hand as they came up. You could tell he was really enjoying it.
That's cool.
I don't know. I guess the one panel that, like, kind of stood out was this one. It was called Medium is the Massage, which is a typo. I think it was supposed to be Medium is the Message, about story and games. And it was moderated by Adam Sessler with... one of the BioWare doctors, Dennis Dyack, Joe Staden from Bungie, and what's his name? Oh, Tim Schafer.
Wow.
Yeah, just talking about storytelling in games. And I don't know, it was a little too tightly moderated for me. Sessler sort of just, like, pitched them the softball questions a little bit. You know, like, I would have liked to see them talk a little bit more about, like, what are the challenges of telling a story in games, rather than how well we're doing it right now. And of course,
how well we're doing it right now, yeah.
So it was a little bit self-congratulatory.
Yeah, a little,
like, bit. They're the ones who are like, we're doing it right, and here's what everyone else should do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little... Was it open to questioning, at least, at the end?
Yeah, it was, and I actually hopped up to try to ask a question, and didn't get to. But, which sort of means that, like, the whole time I was standing in line, I was missing all the other questions, because I was just concentrating on shaping my own.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's terrifying. The only time I ever did that was for,
Howard Ashman.
Howard Ashman.
Yeah.
Howard Ashman. Is that right?
Huh?
Isn't
huh?
that the Disney guy?
Wait, Howard Shore.
Howard
yeah,
Shore,
right.
Yeah. So Howard Shore, the composer for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I thought up some bullshit question just so I could go up there.
Well, me too, and I wanted to too. And I asked him something, I forget what it was, but whatever it was, I got a one-word response from him.
Yeah, I got a very simple response too.
I was terrified.
Yeah, that was like, I asked the question at the Brodeo panel.
Oh, really? I haven't gotten that. I just got to the Q&A. I'm listening to it now.
Yeah, well,
the,
I mean...
The mic levels aren't very high on the people asking questions, so it's hard to hear.
Uh-huh. Well, first I gave Jeff shit because someone was playing his game on the show floor and he wasn't there. And then I asked, like, this really, like, serious question about the new World of Warcraft, the official magazine. And that, you know, like... their business model and if they and what they thought of it and how it could work, and like they Jeff just sort of like looked at me and was like, it sounds like a good idea and I like World of Warcraft. Like, it was a very like non-answer, but it was like I was like right at the end of the line, and I like as I was asking it I was like, they're probably too tired for this question right now. But Yeah, I don't know. I missed a lot of the panels that I was planning to go to, but it was still fun.
So how'd you get sick? What happened here?
I have no idea. I just Sunday I just started feeling shitty and ended up.
Do you have swine flu?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I so like Sunday I had like a fever. And then Monday I had to travel, which was just a horrible experience, sitting on a plane, wanting to kill myself. And then I got home Monday night and went to the campus doctor Tuesday, and they like congratulated me on being the first case on campus.
You're probably gonna get your whole school sick now.
Hopefully not. I mean, I've been in my room pretty much until today. When I'm supposed to be not contagious anymore, so...
Oh, that's good. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. I have survived the swine flu.
Well then, shall we move on?
Yeah, okay. Apple had a press conference this week to announce new iPods. Among those was the iPod Touch, which is, they're bigger and they run off of, like, the 3GS hardware now.
Okie doke.
It was notable that they took a direct jab at Sony and Nintendo, saying how, like, you could get, like, a game on the DS for $30 or on the iPod Touch for $5. Mm. Which one's better? Then people were really you look at something like Civ Rev, or I'll talk about another game later, and they have a point.
For games like that, I'm not going to play Mario and Luigi 3 on my DS.
Well, no, that's because it's a Nintendo property. But anyway,
that's not my point. I have not seen an iPhone game yet, really, that has really blown my mind or anything like that.
Rolando 2 just went on, just got a price drop. Yeah, I think I'm going to get it.
Rolando, whatever. Okay.
Anyway, so the iPod Nano has like a video camera on it now, and a lot of people thought this is coming to the Touch, and it was interesting because when questioned about it, Steve Jobs actually said, like, well, you know, we had a hard time figuring out exactly what the iPod Touch was at first. Is it just an iPhone without the phone? As we talked to people, we find out that they really see it as, like, a great gaming console. And so we didn't really feel like a gaming console needs a camera. You know, the DSi's like, I have two.
Yeah.
Is that
really what they think of the iPod Touch now?
Yeah, they almost see it as, like, a gaming platform. Like, they're really trying... Like, well, in fact, what's really nice is in the new iTunes 9 and the new App Store layout, they're, instead of having just the top downloaded app, it's, like, the top grossing apps. So this prevents, like, the 99-cent drivel from getting all the way up to the top.
Right.
Which is kind of good. Let's see. We have... Okay. This is their last chance. Sega has announced Project Needle Mouse. I swear, this is their last chance to not fuck up Sonic.
There is so much deja vu here, because the first teaser trailer for Sonic Unleashed looked exactly like this. It was like, oh, it's a new HD Sonic 2D game. Then it
except you're going to run in 3D sometimes, and you're going to be a werehog.
Right. I don't know. But like, it just seems to me like, how can they mess this up? This has got to be so easy. All you have to do is just make a really simple HD Sonic game to please us, and it'll probably sell well. Like, I just think, how can they mess it up? I still don't know what happened with Sonic Unleashed.
Sega. These are the guys who messed up the Dreamcast.
Right. I still don't understand how Sonic Unleashed got past the concept phase. I still don't understand how they said...
If I'm at that meeting and some guy on the board's like, Werehog, I would have just smacked him. Be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right. It seems like this would be impossible to mess up, but there's just been so much hurt.
Yeah.
And like, I look at that logo from it, and it's just a silhouette right now, but it looks like that sort of classic emblem of Sonic, and you know, in that sort of ring. I'm just looking at it thinking like, okay, where's the hidden shit? Is there skeleton in this or something?
Yeah, who's
is that
the
a
new
gun?
Character?
He's actually sitting in a sled.
Yeah.
You can't see it.
Exactly.
That little curve at the bottom, that's a snow sled.
Right. I'm like, there's got to be something there. It can't just be him. It just can't be.
This is too easy.
But I don't know. We'll see. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think those were the same exact words I used for Unleashed, though. Cautiously optimistic. And I said after Song Unleashed, you know, never again.
It's like we're in an abusive relationship.
Exactly. We better not be in the teasing phase for long, though. We better, you know, see something here soon.
Yeah, I hope. God, I hope. Maybe TGS.
Maybe. What is that soon, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Yeah, cool.
So Sony has unleashed into the world PSP firmware 6.0. You would think, like, because this is a whole new version number, this would be pretty substantial. Let me tell you. Games can now be grouped and displayed in folders based on their expired date. That's the big one, because people think that expire date hints that maybe there's going to be some kind of game rental service brought to the PlayStation Network, which would be interesting. Hmm. We have under settings, network update has been changed to system update, because they don't want to confuse you, because you can't do it without the network.
Oh.
The number of colors that can be selected under the themes have been increased, but it doesn't work on the PSP 1000. Why? I don't know. And finally, revisions to strengthen security have been added to the internet browser. That sounds pretty worthy of a whole new number to me.
Eh. Is this also the update that borked Uncharted, or was that last one?
What's that? That was 3.0 on the PS3. You said that was fixed, but I didn't see that mentioned anywhere. Where'd you read that?
I don't know. Kotaku or Joystick or something.
No, they said they're looking into it.
No.
They acknowledged
it.
No.
I read the story. It was fixed.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you think? I mean, I would hope by now it would be, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know how these things work. I just don't assume anything anymore. I don't get hurt like that.
Okay.
Where'd I go? Okay. So, we've all seen the videos of Kurt Cobain and Guitar Hero 5. Well, Courtney Love tweeted the other day that this is disgusting and it's necrophilic and she never gave permission for this and they're going to sue the shit out of Activision. And for once, actually, I have to kind of root for Activision, because when they said, we actually have Courtney Love's signature right here that said we could do this. So well, then you have now the rest of the former members of Nirvana are saying, like, you know, we thought, like, you know, you're going to play Kurt and, like, do the two Nirvana songs. What it seems like their beef is, and this is pretty legitimate, is that, like, Kurt is now an unlockable character and you could, like, just throw him into singing, like, you know, Bon Jovi, like, up on the stage, which
right.
makes no sense. And so what they're pushing now is for Activision to, you know, do the right thing and patch the game so that Kurt is only locked to the Nirvana songs, which, honestly, I'd say that's probably a good idea.
It's a decent idea, but it's kind of hard to go back on him being able to do anything now, because now you're going to patch the game to essentially remove content from the game.
It's a Kurt Cobain avatar. Is it really that big a deal?
Yeah.
It's like picking Tiger Woods when you play Tiger Woods.
Can you imagine if they got rid of that feature to pick Tiger Woods?
Yeah, well, okay, it's not exactly like that. But I'm just saying, like, make your own avatar. Use your 360 avatar. It's more fun.
I don't know. I mean, I agree they shouldn't have done it to begin with.
Yeah, that was kind of in poor taste.
Right. I mean, you could do the same thing with, like, Johnny Cash, too. You have Johnny Cash go up there.
Yeah, Chris had Johnny Cash playing the drums to show it to me, and I was like, that's just weird.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't really make sense. All right, what else?
So this is awesome. Valve identified the two most vocal boycotters of Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, yeah.
And flew them to their offices to check out the game. And when the two guys came back, of course, they admitted they were wrong, that this is a worthy sequel.
I thought they were still boycotting it. I don't remember.
No, they admitted they're wrong, and now, of course, the rest of the boycotting community, probably just because they're jealous. It's like, you guys are just being paid off by Valve to say this, and you don't really mean it, and blah, blah, blah.
It looks good. The game looks good. The game
Everyone
looks better.
Everyone who's played it says it's awesome.
I haven't even touched the controller at PAX, but I watched some people play, and it was it looks graphically better, which I was surprised at.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Maybe after this, Mike, we'll get episode 3. Yeah.
No. Yeah. See, that's my whatever. Left 4 Dead 2.
Episode 3. Article for more thoughts on
episode. God damn it! I'm pissed. Whatever. But
okay.
You know, you can't say anything bad about Valve because then, you know, we'll post a story on Kotaku talking about how stupid everyone is, and we'll laugh at it, won't we?
Yep.
Yeah, you guys all get a good laugh. They can fly me over there if I hate them enough.
They'll show you that they are, in fact, working on Episode 3, and it's going to blow your mind, and it's worth the wait.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, people are like, now that Valve flew these guys out over there, and now they changed their mind. Well, I would hope so. If you're going to fly them to your studio and show them everything and, like, all their top-secret stuff, yeah, you know, that would probably persuade anybody.
Excuse me. Okay. Toys R Us has begun a trade-in program, but theirs is a little different. They will take games as far back as the Atari 2600.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, how much is that worth?
I don't know. I mean, that's what I have to wonder. Like, I have, like, 360 games that their trade-in value is $1. What would you get for, like, an NES cartridge?
I just like that they think that all those collectors out there who've, like, they've been waiting till this time
yeah,
to
finally.
Trade in. Like, finally, my Atari 2600 games have value.
We have ROMs now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Although, if what could be interesting, though, is if Toys R Us becomes kind of like a neat place to go and buy these older games.
I doubt it.
It'll depend on how many people are trading in, I guess.
I bet not many. At this point, if you still have your Atari games, I can't imagine you planning on partying with them.
Yeah, exactly. So, as teased, we have confirmed two new Batman DLC packs coming in the next 2 weeks. First one is called Insane Night, and the next one's called Prey in the Darkness. We don't really know what they are. Some people are speculating that Insane Night actually compiles the two pre-order exclusive DLC packs into one little thing, which would be kind of nice.
Yeah, would be.
So this is a quick aside, but part of the copy protection in the PC version of Batman, did you guys see this?
Mm-hmm.
The copy protection is that the game will intentionally glitch itself where Batman can't glide, making it impossible to get past, like, that early poison gas room, so you basically can't play the game. I thought that was great.
The tech around that kind of confuses me.
What?
How does the game know that you pirated it?
I'm not entirely sure. But,
okay.
You know. Some guy was complaining about it on the forum.
Yeah, I saw how
like,
this happened.
But the game, like, wasn't supposed to be out yet. So you knew clearly he pirated it, and then, like, someone from the company was like, you know, it's not a glitch in the game, it's a glitch in your moral code.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Zing.
Moral code. All right.
All right, so we stayed up last night to watch Game Trailers TV on Spike to watch, as LucasArts confirmed, Lucidity, which is a new puzzle platform kind of game they have coming out.
It's like
out.
A combination of Lemmings and Tetris.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Because it's like you have a character who's constantly moving, and you have to, like, kind of put things there to guide her, but you don't get to pick. It's whatever comes up you have to use. So it could be, like, a fan to make her lift up, or, like, a little thing that makes her jump, or platform, or stairs. And it's got this really neat kind of child storybook art to it. It looks
yeah,
cool.
It looks great.
It looks really neat. What I thought was most interesting from that whole thing, though, was the kind of new guy in charge of LucasArts said that the Monkey Island Special Edition sales exceeded their expectations.
Well, this is the guy who, I believe he became the head of LucasArts, in March? And he's the one who's been pushing things like Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition.
Right, this guy's, he's the cool guy. We
yeah,
like
so
him
and, it, and it's nice to see that it's paid off, which means we're going to get more of this,
right. That
which
whole,
I'm all for.
That whole special, I mean, that whole episode of Game Trailers really kind of showed the sort of culture change in LucasArts, where it really isn't just all about Star Wars now, where now they realize that...
They're obviously still doing that.
Well, yeah.
I think they realize
of course the
adventure game market and the downloadable game market is something they can take these smaller teams, creative teams, and do these projects for lower cost with a higher reward to them, really.
Hearing Monkey Island exceeded their expectations for sales, that's pretty heartening to hear.
Yeah,
that made me happy.
And good job, everybody. Good job.
Good job buying it. Monkey Island 2 Special Edition has to be coming.
I hope.
And I will.
God,
you know,
I hope.
I will be so excited when that does. Oh my god, that might be the best adventure game ever. I can't wait for that. Oh.
Mm-hmm. And one final news item: is anyone who was watching the NFL season opener last night?
I was hoping this is going to come up. I was watching.
One half of the Madden curse has come true. Run for your lives!
Isn't that? That's pretty. That is pretty weird, though. The first game. The guy on the Madden cover.
Troy Polamalu, who's on the left half of the Madden 10 cover, at the end of the first half suffered a knee injury that has him out for 3 to 6 weeks. Larry Fitzgerald, the other half of the cover, he'll be playing on Sunday, so we'll be watching.
Right. I just drafted Larry Fitzgerald in my fancy league.
We have all the news now, too, that
so, yeah.
Why didn't
Favre
I think
was
of the
hurt.
Curse?
And Favre was hurt last year. They just never reported it, and he kept playing him anyways. So then he started doing terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This curse is funny, isn't it? What if that other guy gets hurt? Man.
If he does, that's confirmed. If there were two guys in the cover and they both get hurt, that's just weird.
I mean, I think the curse still passes for this year, getting one of them hurt. I think that's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Good job, curse. You did it.
So, yeah. There's the news, unless something here just dropped in. No.
All right, you ready for the quiz?
Oh, no, wait, I do have one more quick thing. Do you see that the digital version of Persona on PSP got delayed a week?
Oh, yeah? Why?
How does this work? No reason. How does the box copies get there, but, like, the digital version's not ready?
Only the digital? That doesn't make sense.
At all. Like I said, we were talking about this before. Like, there's already no incentive to get it, because you don't get any of the bonuses. Now it's coming out a week later, too. Like, what the hell?
Don't you, like, what to make the, you know, UMD version, don't you need the digital version?
I don't get that.
Whatever.
At all.
I don't. Yeah, that makes no sense to me. I don't know. Like, I want to think that's cool, but any RPG where you traverse dungeons in that sort of weird first person perspective, that just seems too old to me. Mm. You know what I mean?
You don't like the Wizardry games?
Yeah, like I couldn't play an old Ultima game, for example. You know. Like,
Ultima didn't do that.
Yes, it did. Ultima definitely did that.
Ultima Underworld was first person, and that was actually played like more like Quake. It wasn't like that kind of turn-based tile movement.
I thought it was.
No, Ultima were isometric.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I never really played one, but
yeah, Ultima Underworld was the first person one.
Okay, then fair enough. All right, we ready for the quiz, everybody?
Yes.
All right, Great American Azure Gaming Quiz: 5 questions, 1 bonus question. You need 5 points to pass. Question number 1. What fictional city does Crackdown take place in?
Oh, man. Craig, do you know?
I have no idea.
I'm going to know it as soon as I just traded this game in, too.
What?
Yeah, I haven't played in like a year. New one's coming.
What'd you trade it in for, Beatles?
Actually, for my mics.
Oh, God.
All right, what is it? Paragon City. No, that's not it. That was City of
Heroes.
That's City of
Heroes. Pacific City.
Yeah.
Question number 2. Which of these characters was not in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1?
Oh, Jesus.
Miss Marvel, okay. Moon Knight, Ghost Rider, or Gambit?
I'm going to say Gambit.
I want to say Gambit, too.
Yeah, because I feel like if he was, I would have played him. So Gambit.
Yep, Gambit.
All right.
All right, question 3. Earthworm Jim was originally released for what system?
Just one?
Yes. Originally. It was ported to others later.
Well, it was Genesis and Super Nintendo. I didn't know it was just on one first. For some reason, I want to say that if I had to pick between the two, the Genesis.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right, yes, Genesis.
Huh, I didn't realize they weren't simultaneous.
Question number 4. What company developed Sonic 3D Blast?
Don't even ask me.
Yeah, I feel like I should know this. Oh, what's their name? I don't know. I'll just say Sonic Team.
Traveler's Tales.
That's it. Jeez.
Question 5. On the Sonic Adventure 2 cover art, is Sonic on the right or the left? In juxtaposition to Shadow.
Oh, good lord. To the right.
Left. Ah.
Damn it. Jeez.
Bonus question. What was the name you gave episode 99 of our podcast?
Was that Batbrain?
Yes.
All right.
All right. Good job. All right, you didn't pass. You got 4 points, I think.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, not terrible. All right, let's do either or.
All right.
Either or. I ask you guys, I kind of give you one thing or the other. You have to pick one. And there's points. I declare a winner at the end. We have a lightning round, too, after the initial 10.
Oh, man.
So, Edgar, you'll start?
Okay.
Okay, we got two pretty big DS releases this month. I think almost around the same day, even. Mario & Luigi 3 or Scribblenauts?
I am for Scribblenauts. I actually didn't even realize Mario & Luigi was coming out this month.
Mario & Luigi 3 has had, like, three reviews so far. It's been, like, 100, 95, and 95.
I'm sure it's excellent, and I will get it eventually. But Scribblenauts just sounds so fresh and innovative and just crazily fun. I have to try that game. Like, I've been dying to play it since E3. And, I mean, Mario, like I said, I'm sure Mario & Luigi is going to be great. But fundamentally, I've at least played it before. And I just want to try this because it sounds like something so new.
Scribble, what do you think of Scribblenauts?
Which one do you pick? I would go with Scribblenauts, but I actually played it on the show floor at PAX. But it's a terrible environment to play Scribblenauts in because you're sitting in this chair, and they've got what you're playing on a big screen above your head, so everyone behind you in line can watch what you're typing in, and like there's so much pressure to be creative. I'm just sitting there, I'm like, think of something awesome, please. Great. Rocket pack.
You see why so many first-person shooters are designed the way they are.
It's like, yeah. So just to redeem myself from my horrible loss of creativity at PAX, I'll have to go with Scribblenauts.
All right. Now we'll start with Scribble for this next one. StarCraft or Warcraft?
StarCraft. I never liked Warcraft. In terms of the RTS.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking RTS here.
Easily StarCraft. I never liked Warcraft.
What turns you off on Warcraft?
I think in Warcraft 3, it's just that it just takes so long to kill a unit.
StarCraft is more, there's a lot more units and they're all weaker, whereas Warcraft, you have fewer kind of stronger units.
Yeah.
Especially the whole hero class thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
AJ.
I say Warcraft. I like StarCraft 2 a lot, don't get me wrong. But first of all, like, Warcraft 2 was my first RTS, so I have like really nostalgic kind of bias towards it. And Warcraft 3, like I think I've talked about before, but like before I started college, me and all my high school friends, like 8 of us, all summer just played LAN games of Warcraft 3, and it was like one of the best things ever.
Well, you did that with StarCraft a bit too, though.
We did, but for some reason, I don't know, just something about, we would do StarCraft just for the sake of doing it, but Warcraft 3 was, like, our go-to. And, I like fantasy more than sci-fi in most cases anyway, so that doesn't help.
All right. Star Fox or Panzer Dragoon?
Oh, you bastard.
Ooh.
See, are we talking vintage Star Fox or Star Fox in general?
I guess we can say vintage Star Fox. Up to 64. Fuck. How about that?
Oh, damn it. Because, like, Star Fox 64 is my favorite 64 game. I thought that game's brilliant. I love it. I still play it on the Virtual Console. But Panzer Dragoon is so friggin' good. Especially 2 is phenomenal. And I'm not going to count Saga, because although I have played a bit of it, it's not really the same game. God, I don't know.
Well, you have to pick one.
I'm thinking. Like, it's just, I'm just going to try to think out loud here, because, I mean, Star Fox is like basically the first really 3D console game with like polygons and everything the way we think of it today. And it worked, is the thing. Like, I mean, the fundamental gameplay, even in 64, is the same. It's just prettier. And then, you know, it had the rumble pack, and the voice acting was actually pretty decent. But, I mean, Panzer Dragoon just had this kind of, like, this so interesting ethereal setting to it. And it was, like, one of the first games to have, like, a fully orchestrated score the way it did. A really well-developed world. Oh, man, I can't decide.
Well, just pick one. You can change your mind later.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to actually go with Panzer Dragoon. And this is by the narrowest of margin possible.
Why did it edge out?
I can still think back to playing that game. That was like one of the first games that justified the Saturn to me. And just, like I said, just something about that game's setting and the world and everything about it was just really cool. I really liked it.
All right, Scribble.
This is easy. I've never played any Panzer Dragoon games. And I love Star Fox 64 with all my heart.
All right. See, that was much easier. You should take notes, AJ.
Yeah. Just play fewer games.
Right. All right.
There you go.
Scribble, Wolfenstein or Doom?
I wanted to try to pick Wolfenstein, even though I've never played it, just because I so didn't like Doom 3. Alright, let's go with Wolfenstein. Plus, I hear the modern game is a valiant effort at bringing back that old school sort of run and gun.
You mean whatever. That new Wolfenstein? That just came
yeah,
out?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, a lot of people like that.
Really?
Yeah, people like it. I'm going with that.
All right then, AJ.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wolfenstein as well. Just because the art and direction in all the Doom games is so friggin' middle schoolers, notebook binder margin.
Like, a lot of that's in Wolfenstein, especially these newer ones that kind of have these monsters that are basically look like they're from Doom.
Yeah. I like shooting Nazis too, so you know.
Nazis. Alright. Alright, well, on that same note, Quake or Unreal?
Unreal.
Why?
Specifically, I like Unreal Tournament better than Quake 3.
Yeah.
On the whole. I thought it offered more.
If I had to take, like, a single-player one, I'd probably do Quake 2, but those Unreal Tournament games are pretty fun.
Even then, like, the first Unreal, like, the single-player was cool, because it was, unlike Quake, it had a lot of cool outdoor open environments that were just kind of new and very unique at the time.
It's kind of funny how insignificant or insignificant Quake 4 ultimately was, huh?
Oh, that was, like, nothing at all. It should have been a big deal.
Unreal 2 wasn't a huge deal either, though.
It was a little bit of a bigger deal. I think Unreal became more known for its multiplayer, and, like, Unreal Tournament 3 is a testament to that.
Right, exactly.
Unreal 3 was, you know, sort of had the impact Quake 4 did.
Wait, there was an Unreal? Oh, you mean UT 3.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, by that point, just that style of multiplayer gameplay is just not in right now. It's all about squad-based and territorial control and, you know, Battlefield, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scribble, what would be yours, then?
I would go with Unreal, also. I played an ungodly amount of UT 2004 back when that came out.
Yeah, that was the one I liked, too. That was great. Okay. Yeah. Alright, Scribble, we'll start with you. I don't even know if you play a while, so I don't know how you can do this, but Burning Crusade...
Hey, does.
He does?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
You can't quit you.
Yeah,
that's
excuse
right.
me, I roomed with four guildies at PAX, and...
Yeah. As soon as I said that, wait a second, this is like the big squad guy who's in to WoW.
Yeah, so and there were probably around 12 of us at the show.
Well, that's cool.
That doesn't really mean that I play, but, but go on.
Wait, what server are you on?
Bailgun.
See, I'm on that server too. I just started playing again recently. Quick aside, I'm not in our guild anymore. I have to join it again. So I've been playing. We'll figure that out later, though. We'll figure that out later. All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways, the question: Burning Crusade or Wrath of the Lich King?
That's easy. Wrath. Burning Crusade is. I've leveled like three characters through Burning Crusade, and I hate every zone right now. the thought of venturing back into Hellfires, a little piece of me dies. Wrath was such a good expansion too. Like, I think I actually mentioned on the show that you guys were at Disneyland, where we took over for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That Wrath sort of just reinstilled that feeling of, just one more quest, just one more quest. And, like, Burning Crusade was just, like, a slog for me.
AJ, how about you?
Well, the only Wrath content I ever have played is the Death Knight starting area, and I've done two zones in Burning Crusades, you know, an Outland, plus the starting areas for Draenei and Blood Elves. And I really like the Draenei.
Excuse me.
And I also like the opening cinematic for Burning Crusade better, so I'm actually going to go with that, but I know that if I played, actually got to play in Northrend, I'd probably say Wrath of the Lich King.
I will say that Burning Crusade has the much better opening CG intro.
That's fair.
And that the Draenei are cool.
Yeah, and the Draenei area was pretty awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
But the Draenei in general are a really good race, I think. I like them a lot.
But I'll talk about this a bit more, because I pretty much what I've been doing this week was playing through Wrath of the Lich King, Northrend stuff, trying to get through it all. And like, I'm in Ice Crown right now, and the quests you're doing are just really, really cool right now.
Damn it, you're making me want to start up my WoW account again.
Oh, it's been sweet. Wait till you hear about
it. I gotta get all my
anyway.
Items recovered and get my friggin' other character put back together.
Level 79 right now. I'm almost there.
Fuck. And yeah, I just uninstalled it too.
The Champions Online actually rips off WoW's Draenei, like the end of the Draenei starting area, you know, where you have the sort of Star Wars celebration with everyone that you've met in your sort of 1-20 experience, cheering you on. Champions completely rips that off. Well, I guess, you know, everything's ripping off Star Wars, but...
Yeah.
Right. I can't... I couldn't get into Champions at all.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay, AJ.
I wanted to love it.
I did too, but I don't know. It just felt so much like I was doing City of Heroes again. I'm just going to go back into that. All right, Ash Guy. Rayman or Knights?
Rayman. Rayman 2 is like my favorite platforming game that's not Mario.
Rayman 2 is pretty sweet.
Rayman 3, the gameplay was there, but they butchered the story, and giving the characters voices was a huge mistake. Rayman 1 was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, Knights is great, but I don't think it's as great as people remember. And again, too, like, playing the new Knights on Wii... It's kind of like Rayman 3. The gameplay is there, but man, they killed it with the story and the androgynous voice they gave Knights and everything. that could have been cool, but it's not at all.
Scribble.
I'll go with Knights. I only actually played a few of the Rayman games, but I always enjoyed watching my friend play Knights, even if I had no idea what was going on. I think I enjoyed that better than playing Rayman. As a kid.
Okay, on the same topic, Knights or Christmas Knights?
Oh, Christmas Knights.
It's not your turn.
I know it's not my turn, sorry.
2,000 point deduction.
Oh, shit.
Scribble.
Offsides.
I don't understand what that is.
See, he doesn't even know. Can I tell the story? Okay, he really enjoys this.
Go ahead.
All right, what magazine was it? I don't remember. Some magazine.
I think it was...
Oh.
I don't remember.
Back in the day,
either.
It was a pack in the magazine. It was Christmas Knights. They took one level from Knights, rethemed it to look like winter, and then gave the characters new outfits, and gave Knights, like, a Santa-looking outfit, and then it had, like, a Christmas arrangement of, like, the Knight song while you played it, and it was all very cool and Christmassy and everything, but then... That you could also play the level as Sonic the Hedgehog. It's probably the second best Sonic 3D game there is.
Well,
and you know, the thing is, apparently it's quite the collector's item, and we have a mint copy of it still that we still play.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty sweet. Okay, Asgard, this time it's you. Dreamcast or the Genesis?
Dreamcast.
What's wrong with the Genesis? Why do you hate the Genesis?
It's been a hard realization for such hardcore Genesis fans as we were when we were kids. But I've kind of come to admit that the Super Nintendo probably was the better system.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, like, it's still great, don't get me wrong. Better versions of Aladdin and Lion King and everything.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. But,
NBA Jam.
But, yeah. The Dreamcast, though, I mean, Jeff Grubb on put up online an article he wrote that was great. It was like the top five reasons why the Dreamcast failed. It was things like the most successful hardware launch ever, the most unique lineup of games, the first online connected system, blah, blah, blah. He's like, wait a second, how did it fail? Because by all accounts, it was a great system.
What did he say? What were his reasons for it failing?
No, it was like five really good things, like the five most notable traits of the system. And he's like, wait a minute. It did everything right. How did it fail? Like, it didn't do anything wrong.
I still don't even understand.
There's a really interesting article up with the guy. His name's escaping me, but he was like the president of Sega right before the Dreamcast launched. He got ousted. It was a really big deal. It's a somewhat candid interview with him, saying basically how like Sega was just willing or unwilling to like just spend the money they needed to spend to do it properly.
Probably because they didn't have any money. I think their last three systems before that did not do very well.
Yeah.
It's rough. But moving on, we'll Scribble.
Considering all I really remember playing on the Genesis was Sonic and some Power Rangers game. whereas my Dreamcast regularly was home to Jet Grand Radio, Crazy Taxi, Power Stone, and Sonic Adventure. I'm going to go with that.
All right. And the last one, Star Scribble, buff or debuff?
What kind of a question is that?
Would you rather buff or debuff?
Buff. Because I'm a nice guy.
Okay, as guy. Buff or debuff?
Hey, like a priest, I always debuff, Mike.
Okay. All right. That pandering will not help you. All right.
I thought that was the whole point. That's why you asked the question.
Lightning round.
Woo!
Five more. You guys just answer them as quickly as possible. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. You ready, Scribble? Are you ready?
Go.
What? No, we're going. Doesn't matter. Here we go. Arthas or Illidan?
Arthas.
Okay. Both are off to poor starts. Okay. Gabe or Tycho?
Tycho.
Gabe.
Paul or John?
Paul.
John.
Sonic or Knuckles?
Sonic.
Knuckles.
B-ball or basketball?
B-ball.
B-ball.
Okay. Oh, man. Scribble, you're doing so good. You got wiped in the lightning round. I got to tally up these scores real quick. Okay. Edge guy, you have 5,001 points.
Uh-huh.
Scribble has 7,000 points.
Oh, that stupid penalty.
That 2,000-point penalty. You would have won by 1 point.
No.
Victory.
Next time, you'll know to respect the rules.
I guess so.
Now you know.
I just got so excited. Now I understand why linemen go off sides. They're just excited. I want to tackle that guy.
All right. Our week in gaming. You know, I'm glad I'm finally at a place now where I can consistently say our week in gaming instead of, what you've been playing, or what... Wait,
yeah.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
I no longer have one-up yours constantly on the mind. Okay. Like I said, I've been doing a lot of World of Warcraft. I've been getting my Draenei Death Knight up to 80, sort of in anticipation of Cataclysm coming out someday. But, like, I've been going through, like, the last few zones in Northrend. And Northrend was pretty cool already, but once you get to level 77, you can start flying everywhere. And it's just, you're just doing cool things, like you're flying out of Dalaran and just kind of going anywhere you want to. There's all these quests where you kind of have to fly around. It's just, you know, a lot of cool stuff like that. Ice Crown, though, has had some really neat quests. There's one where I was in a camp for the Argent Crusade, and I had to kind of man a cannon and fend off an attack. And after that quest, every time you leave the camp, all the like guards and stuff start cheering for you and things like that. There's two airships that constantly fly around Ice Crown, one for the Alliance, one for the Horde. So you constantly have to like fly up there and land on it and talk to people there to take quests and stuff. I did this really cool quest chain where I kind of found this little this kind of little ghost kid whose name was some sort of anagram of Arthas Menethil. And he kind of did all these quests for me that were basically flashbacks to Arthas doing things. Like, I was playing as Arthas fighting Illidan and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Damn it, now I really want to activate my WoW account.
Right. Just, you know, if they're doing a lot of things that it's like, yeah, my character is important to what's going on here, and just kind of stuff like that. Like, now that I'm kind of getting to that higher level and stuff like that. But, you know, and that's what pretty much all I really even do is I'm just going through these single-person quest trees. I pretty much do play World of Warcraft like a single-player game. Maybe once I get level 80, I'll experiment a bit more with some of the battlegrounds and stuff so I can get some cooler equipment and whatnot. But that's been fun right now. Like I said, it's level 79. Got one more to go. And I've been having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, WoW's not the game that's going to solve the whole issue of, well, I'm so special, but there's millions of other people doing the exact same thing. Like, they're not going to solve that problem, but they're going to get a lot better at doing. They're getting a lot better at doing what they're doing. You know.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree entirely. Because I mean, you know, it's kind of hard for an MMO just in theory to sort of get that accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I rented Red Faction Guerrilla and I got to play that a little bit. That was a really cool game.
I know. I want to get that eventually.
Did you play it?
You guys are so late to the party.
I know. We're
well,
late to
the problem is when like because like the three big open world games earlier in the summer were that, Infamous, and Prototype. And I ended up getting Infamous, and Chris ended up getting Prototype. And so we never really Red Faction was the one we missed, and it seems like that was probably the one to pick.
See, yeah, Red Faction is really more my speed, where it's not quite. It's I don't want to say it's more linear than the other ones, but like the worlds aren't ridiculously big, and they kind of zone it off appropriately. So it's I don't know. In Infamous, it's just you can get lost too easy. It's almost too much to do with not enough tools. Like in Infamous, you pretty much shoot lightning at people the whole time. Prototype, I didn't really play that much of, so I can't say. But just the very basic blowing up buildings in Red Faction is so satisfying. Like these buildings, they blow up good. Like when you knock down that foundation, they come down. It'll scare you because it's like, wow, that is really falling, and it's almost falling on me. I have to run away. And I mean it looks really cool. There is some impressive tech behind that.
Yeah, and don't leave that game without trying the multiplayer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's surprisingly good. It's not just like sort of just shoehorned in, you know. Like I don't know if you got to the part where you get the jetpack in the single player yet.
See, I only just liberated the first zone.
Oh, okay. It's a little off, a little ways off, but there's a. In multiplayer, you get, like, various backpacks that give you different abilities and stuff. like, you know, there's a jetpack, and then there's, you know, a stealth pack, and there's nothing, like, more satisfying than going stealth and just hammering people out of stealth.
Oh, I love that hammer. Like, even the first time you used that hammer to, like, break a wooden fence, it's like, whoa, that was really cool. It's hard to describe, but I mean, if anyone hasn't tried that game out yet, that seems to be, to me, one of the bigger sleeper hits of this year, because it seems really, it kind of reminds me almost more of it, of Crackdown than, say, GTA or anything like that. It really is an open world game that's more to my liking. Besides that, though, I'm still playing Professor Layton a lot, still playing Dissidia quite a bit. I think that's pretty much it for me. Ashgot, why don't you go?
Okay. Beatles Rock Band!
Oh, shoot, yeah, Beatles Rock Band! What was I thinking? Yeah, we've been playing a lot of that, because Chris has been counting the days, so that came out, her younger brother.
Oh, I was too. Like, the last week, for whatever reason, like, I all of a sudden, like, I was looking forward to it, and then the last, like, 7 days, I was like, oh my god, when's this coming out? Like, I was the first guy at Best Buy when it opens, I could get home and play before I had to work that day. And, it's awesome.
Yes.
And all the people who are trying to, like, okay, I figured out the problem with the reviews, Mike.
Right.
They're reviewing Rock Band 3. But yeah. It's not Rock Band 3. It's the Beatles Rock Band.
Well,
it's weird.
Do you think the problem is that it's going up against Guitar Hero 5?
that might be part of it, but it's like Mike said, you said this on Twitter, Mike, you're absolutely right. They're reviewing what's not there rather than reviewing what is there. And what is there is friggin' incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never, like, I mean, the Beatles, like, obviously, okay, let's face it, everyone likes the Beatles. Even if you say you don't, you do. But, like, until like, this game came out, I started getting hyped up for it. I mean, I'm like, I'm friggin', it's like, it really is like Beatlemania, too, like people are saying. I can't get Beatles songs out of my head. I'm listening to them at work. I was getting the news ready for tonight. I'm listening to the Sgt. Pepper's. Like, I've gone nuts with it. It's awesome.
It is really cool. The few things I saw in reviews that were just kind of, they seemed bizarre to me. I think there's a Kotaku review, and it was Brian Crescente, and he was really, he seemed like upset that there were only Beatles songs in it.
Yeah,
it seemed
bizarre
to me.
Go play some Guitar Hero Aerosmith and listen to your Killer songs and have fun with that. Like,
yeah.
No. If like, there was any other band in this game, it'd be ruined. It'd be absolutely ruined.
Yeah, that just, I don't know, that seems weird to me. He also seemed surprised that it was a Rock Band game, apparently.
I don't know what people's expectations were. The title is The Beatles Rock Band.
But, I mean, let's not cry. The game is getting reviewed pretty well overall.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, don't cry for The Beatles Rock Band. It's doing quite well.
But, like, I just, you know, people also complain that there's only 45 songs. And, like, you know, Guitar Hero is 85. But like I said, like each of these songs is like a handcrafted music video that never was.
Well, the way to think about it is, if you get Guitar Hero 5, there will probably be about a third of the songs in there you like. Unless you're like...
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean,
and if you get
many...
the Beatles Rock Band and you like the Beatles, you're probably going to like all the songs.
I do. Like,
or at least
all
most
45
them.
Songs plus the 46, the downloadable All You Need Is Love, they're all good. I played through the entire story. I didn't find a single song. I was like, I don't like this song.
Right. The way to play, at least for me, is you have to do an instrument and sing at the same time, especially if you have multiple people, because then you can do the harmonies, and that's just a lot of fun. Like, mostly whenever I play with my younger brother, and we're both on a guitar. I'll do bass, he'll do guitar, and we'll go on, switch off. The most fun we have is when we do the Sgt. Pepper and a Little Help With My Friends thing, and he'll be Paul, and he'll sing the Sgt. Pepper's part. And then I'll be Ringo, and I'll see sing a Little Help With My Friends, and he'll be the background for that. So it's a lot of fun.
And then what's cool, too, is if you go to do, like, practice mode on vocals, it has a really great way of teaching you the harmonies, where it'll actually, you can isolate a harmony, and it'll play like a flute or something, playing that harmony line. So you could very distinctly hear it and sing along with that till you learned it.
Oh, that's cool.
Did you guys just pick up the disc?
Well, no, I got the disc, and I got the Rickenbacker 325 guitar. Chris got the special edition, along with the Gresh duo.
Yeah, my younger brother was.
We actually have all the instruments between the three of us.
Yeah, my younger brother.
Oh, okay.
The new instruments are really cool. My one problem is the edge. It's not smoothed out sort of on the edges, so it kind of hurts your arm a little bit.
Which one?
Both of the ones we have.
Oh, I love my Rickenbacker. It's awesome.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's the one thing.
I don't have that problem. I'm saying though.
Well, so I'll have to see.
How are the drums? Because I played it a little bit on the floor. I drummed, and the drums almost felt like Rock Band 1 drums. You know, there was no like the Rock Band 2 ones have a lot more bounce. They have that sort of like rubberized like top that gives it a lot more bounce. And the Beatles drums I played on, I don't know, maybe they were just the fact that it was sitting on the show floor for 3 days.
Right. I mean, our younger brother has those Ion drum sets, so that's what he really uses.
Oh.
Right, yeah. Like I said, he's ridiculous with Rock Band.
Yeah, I would guess that's it, though, because I think these are basically just a modified version of the Rock Band 2 drums as far as, like, the outer part goes and the color of the toms. Like, I don't think they would have changed anything else.
I also want to say, I like that the game is overall a bit easier than, say, you know, a normal Rock Band or Guitar Hero title. Just because, you know, you're not going to have metal songs or anything like that, just, you know, these really hard songs. So generally, it's almost more fun to play through. Plus, very few of these songs are overly long, like so many Rock Band songs are these days and stuff like that. So it's really fun to play through.
Well, and here's what it comes down to. Like, I have a bunch of people coming over for a party tomorrow. And in the email I sent out to give them directions at my house, I mentioned that, you know, like, hey, I'll have the Beatles Rock Band if you guys want to play it. Literally every person, eight people coming to this party, have all come up to me throughout the week. Oh, do you have, like, all the mics? Can we, like, sing? Like, people don't even play video games. I ran into a friend I haven't seen in a couple months at a bar last night, and I mentioned to her that I got Beatles Rock Band. She's like, oh, my God, can I come over and play it? She doesn't play video games at all. Like, everybody has at least some interest in this game, you know?
It'll be interesting to see the NPDs.
Yeah.
I think. Because some people seem to be skeptical that this will do all that well. I think it'll be fine. Well, it'll be cool to see. Mm-hmm. So, what else do you play, AJ?
I meant to talk about it last week, and I forgot. I feel really bad, because I really wanted to. But there's an indie game on Xbox Live called I Made a Game with Zombies in It. And it's brilliant. Basically, it's a twin-stick shooter. It's made by the guy who made The Dishwasher. And,
what's The Dishwasher?
That, like, kind of God of War side-scrolling game with the samurai dead guy. Remember, it was, like, one of the first XNA games they showed, and it became a full-blown XBLA title.
Right.
Okay, so the thing that makes this game great is while you're playing it, there's this ridiculous, like, rock song playing in the background that the guy wrote that's, like, about the game, talking about how, like, it's only a dollar and I hope you buy it. Like, when I heard that lyric, I was just playing the trial. I was like, you know what? He gets my buck. It's totally worth it. It's so hilarious. So everyone should check that out. Pay the dollar. It's totally worth it. It's a great game. I also played, and yes, it's an iPhone game, Mike. They released Madden for the iPhone, and I decided on a lark to get it because it was, like, cheaper the first day. It was just $8 instead of $10. But it's really, really good. Like, it's actually, okay, so it has this feature in the game where, you know, you play with, like, the virtual analog stick and then, like, these context-sensitive buttons on the screen, which actually is really good because it makes it easier to know what the hell the controls are. And whenever you want, you could kind of hit, like, almost like a bullet time button. And then that's when, like, the specific moves like juke and stiff arm show up on the screen. So you actually have some time to react and pick your move more, you know, definitively. And, like, I hope they put that in the console versions. Because it's actually really great. Like, anytime, like, a pass is thrown, as soon as the pass is thrown, I could slow it down. You just tap on the defender you want to control, and I could position myself to either try to swat it, intercept it, go for an immediate tackle. You know, on offense, when you're running the ball and you see the guys coming, you could start to slow it down, then pick your juke, or if you want a stiff arm. And it plays fantastically. It looks good. It's a full-blown Madden game on the iPhone. And, like, it's got to be better than the one that's on DS for $30. So, you know, everyone should get it. I think it's really good.
All right. Anything else?
I played some Oblivion. You want me to talk about that?
Oh, God. Why are you still playing Oblivion?
Well, it was Tuesday night before Rock Band was coming out, but, like, I wasn't tired yet, but I wanted to go to bed, so it'd be morning sooner, so I was like, I'm going to play some Oblivion.
Get over
it. I'm trying to go through. I'm almost done with the Thieves Guild quest, then I'm going to do the Dark Brotherhood.
What, 2006? It came out, like, the same, like, month that Kingdom Hearts 2 came out.
It's still great. I'm still playing it.
Oh, my God. Just play Uncharted. Fixed, I promise. Please play Uncharted.
I will.
Okay, Scribble, what did you play?
Let's see. Well,
what'd you play, Scribble?
I can talk a little bit about what I played at PAX first.
Yeah, do that.
Where's my watch? So oh, there it is. Sorry.
I got time with you know, the Uncharted 2 demo. which was pretty sweet. I actually only got it, like, halfway through when my friend died. I don't know, it plays like Uncharted. It looks beautiful.
Does it play, like, exactly like Uncharted 1?
Pretty much.
Yes.
I don't know. Have you got... I was like, what does he want to hear? have you guys played the beta at all?
I played a bit of the beta.
Played some co-op of it.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean it's that demo that they played at E3 that where you're, like, running from the car and you're shooting it and then you dive into the street.
See, I'm kind of avoiding a lot of the demos and videos for this game now at this point. I mean, I already know I'm gonna buy it. So at this point I just kind of want to, you know, keep some things surprised for myself. So I didn't watch the demo. I saw, like, what they did at the press conference, that kind of stage demo, but that was it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's Uncharted. What else did I play? I played a little bit of Borderlands.
Ooh, how's that?
It plays really well. I mean, I was kind of confused. I got it, like, they really didn't give you any context for the demo. It's just, like, you were just sort of standing there mm-hmm. in a cave. But yeah, I mean, all my friends loved it. I wasn't as hot on it, but, I don't know, it was fine. It was very, like, I could see, like, how it's like, very Diablo-y or, like, PSO, but with actual, like, first-person shooter controls and stuff.
That sounds like Hellgate London.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Except
I want to like this game. I really do.
Yeah, see, with I just... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it has a much better art style than Hellgate London, though.
I'd hope so. You know, I could give my 5-year-old cousin a, you know, some Crayolas, and he could come up with a better art style than Hellgate London. I haven't been following that game very much. I just hear a lot of excitement for it, so maybe it'll be cool.
Yeah.
Ever since they changed the art style, everyone suddenly started caring. That was such a good move on their part.
Yeah.
All right,
What and else? Then I didn't get to play it, but I got to watch like 3 different people play the Heavy Rain demo that they had running.
Ooh.
How'd that look?
Oh, that game looks so good. that's like my whole. That's like the game that's gonna like change gaming. That game looks awesome.
Was the demo the convenience store scene that they were showing?
There's a guy so who runs in and. Holds up this convenience store, but he doesn't know that you're in the back. So there's like, you know, a bunch of different ways you can go through the store, try to pick up a weapon, knock him out. 99% of the people I watch do this, like, just failed the little. I feel stupid calling them quick time events, because I mean they sort of are, but they're more like.
It's become a dirty word, hasn't it?
Yeah. But it's, you know, there will be stuff like, so you're walking up an aisle, and he tries to reach for a bottle, and, you know, you might grab it, you might drop it, depending on if you succeed on this QTE, I guess, and then you walk by, like, a stack of boxes, and there's one falling, you have to press a button to catch it, otherwise he hears you and turns around. They do the controls very smartly, very intelligently. You know, like when he does catch you and sticks the gun in your face, you have to hold the triggers to raise your hands up over your head. you should just go watch videos But it was so different seeing it like in person, and seeing different people do it in different and fail different ways. I don't know. Heavy Rain has me so excited. I don't know. Games I actually own. I pretty much haven't taken Batman out of my 360 since I got it.
I thought you were about to say, like, haven't taken it out of the box yet, and I was going to yell at you. But no, you now get praise, because that is the correct answer.
Yeah, I love that game almost as much as I love watching Heavy Rain. Batman is so good. I have every achievement but the completed on hard mode.
Yeah.
And, which I started last night, and I am almost at the Poison Ivy fight.
Oh, wow. Is it that much harder?
The main differences are enemies do more damage, and there's no, like, signal over their heads when they're about to hit you.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah, so you really have to get used to, like, watching them, watching for them to run at you, and stuff like that. Hmm. But yeah, I mean, and then you upgrade the health first, pretty much. And another pro tip, actually seek out the Riddler challenges, because they give you lots of XP.
Yeah.
If you're playing hard mode. But yeah, that's my last achievement. I got home from PAX, and as soon as I was healthy enough to hold a controller and sit up in my bed, I went and finished all the combat challenges. Yeah, I can't get enough of Batman. Nice. I don't know. Have you guys finished it?
Yeah, AJ finished the single player. Yeah, you need to do that.
Right. Yeah. On TV, it's a Toledo football game. They're showing Tony Paco's.
Great.
I was there. I just had to bring that up.
Okay.
Because I was at Tony Paco's.
I want to say, too, so Chris, our brother, got a new game, not gaming PC, a new PC that happens to be very good for gaming. And I tried the Batman demo on it, and it has, the physics acceleration.
Oh, cool.
Oh, damn. So in the very beginning, after you leave that first room where you fight some of Joker's goons, you kind of, walk through, there's, some smoke coming out of that scanner or whatever. When you see this smoke displaced around Batman, you're like, oh, my God. It looks real. Just, the papers flying through the air and everything. It's very impressive.
Yeah, I watched the trailer or I don't know if it was a trailer or if someone just made a video of all
they did, a physics trailer.
Yeah.
I saw that, too, yeah.
Yeah, very impressive.
So, anything else?
That's it for me. Batman, and more Batman, pretty much.
All right. I take it AJ doesn't want me to talk about Toledo anymore, so we'll move on to new releases. Try bringing it up, you're like, yeah, it's nice anyways.
Because we were talking about Batman. You interrupted
Batman.
Don't
you disrespect me.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Tony Paco's from
MASH.
You were
disrespecting Batman, okay?
I was disrespecting Batman.
That's right. Okay, WiiWare. They have Contra Rebirth.
So this is like Contra 5, kind of?
I guess so, yeah.
It's like the Mega Man 9 of Contra.
Without as much fanfare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I don't know if this is pronounced Color Z or Colors, because the Z is capitalized, but it's one word. Oh, I thought you were going to say something. You're just yawning.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. I was hoping that wouldn't be audible, but there it is.
Virtual Console got Super Return of the Jedi, and DSi got Clubhouse Games Express Family Favorites.
Oh, nice.
Xbox Live Arcade got Sonic and Knuckles. Wallace and Gromit Episode 2 is supposed to be released, but it got pushed back for some reason. Telltale won't say what it is. They have a surprise. Games on Demand got a new one in Civ Rev, which is $30, which you could probably find cheaper elsewhere. PSN got TMNT. Not TMNT. Turtles in Time, I should say. PSP got Wipeout Pulse and Wild Arms XF. And three PS1 games, Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain, Silent Hill, which I know had a lot of the squad guys excited, and Siphon Filter 2. And then on Good Old Games, we have Port Royal, Incoming and Incoming Forces in one bundle, and Expendable.
Okay, well, the real retail releases this past week for the Beatles Rock Band for PS3, 360 Wii, Dirt 2 for 360 PS3, Darkest Days for PC 360, Mini Ninjas for PC 360 DS PS3 Wii, Muramusa, the Demon Blade for Wii.
Everyone seems very excited about this.
Oh,
game.
Yeah. I gotta pick it up. Well, it's the Odin Sphere, guys.
Ah.
So, I mean, if you see a gameplay of it, it looks a lot like Odin Sphere. It basically seems like Odin Sphere, but more straightforward.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dirt 2 is also on PC and Wii.
Yeah, I saw
PSP.
That.
I meant to tell you that.
Have you guys seen the website for Dirt 2?
No.
I don't remember how you get there, but I'm pretty sure it's the main attraction. You manually tattoo stuff on this on a pair of breasts, pretty much.
Nice. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, and then you can save it as a wallpaper.
Oh, good.
Or send it to your friends.
Great.
IO2, yeah. Stormovic, Birds of Prey, for PS3, 360, PSP, and DS. What's that website again?
Oh, brother.
Joking. All right.
That's Dirt 2.
Wait till we're done. Jeez.
Joking. This Gaia 2, Dark Hero Days for the PSP. Raiden 4 for 360. Heroes Over Europe for the PC. And Flight Simulator X Constellation Professional Expansion.
I think it's 10.
PC. Shut up. You can call whatever you want.
Okay.
Roman numerals and letters. All right.
Hey, if I called it Final Fantasy X, you would get upset.
Whatever. Anyways... That's it for our show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for joining us, Scribble.
Anytime.
Yeah, glad you're feeling better.
Yep.
yeah, I've successfully been muting my coughs. You'll be glad to know.
Yeah, I didn't even notice, see?
Yeah.
So, that's it for this week. You can find more of us at SquadronShame.com. SquadronShame.com and WordPress Box Building Barrel. A note on our WordPress site, you can now find our backlog.
Yes,
we've organized our older episodes into three separate zip folders. So now you can finally go back and listen to all of those classic EBP moments.
Yeah, I've got 75 through 85 to put up, too.
Oh, very nice.
76 through 85, I guess.
So, you can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Cool. Sorry.